There. Okay. Well, hello everybody. This is Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi, and it's Sunday, March the 6th, 2011, and we're going to have a discussion tonight with this is Learning Together, learningtogether.pbworks.com. I just put the URL in the chat, and we're going to have a chat tonight with Kalyan Chattopadhyay. And I've put his information in a text box on the recording, and we're going to talk about, well, some of the things, some of the ways that I've been encountering Kalyan lately. And Dennis is here actually, and has been working with Kalyan. They were working together in Second Life in the recent EVO session in a place called Village. And Kalyan has expressed an interest in multiliteracies, even suggesting he might like to co-moderate our next EVO session. And also, he's head of a India Cal in India, and was looking for links with APICAL, which is Asia Pacific, yeah, Cal, Computer Assisted Language Learning, something that I've been working in. And basically, I thought we would talk about the future of learning in a networked world, and that's appropriate because Michael Coghlan is here. So I'd like to welcome you all, and especially welcome Kalyan. How are you doing, Kalyan?
Thanks, Vance, for asking me to join this session. It's just an honor for me. I'm fine. I'm looking forward to the discussion here.
Okay, well, I guess we might take some of those in order. I got invited to present at one of the Village sessions by Dennis, who's here in the chat, Dennis Newsom. And maybe first we could talk a little bit about that. I know a lot about what Dennis does in Second Life. And of course, anybody else has any questions, please feel free to ask them. But we got some tours. I think while I was at the Village, I saw you there, but I didn't really catch exactly what you were doing. Maybe you could start by explaining your interest in Second Life, what you do there, and how you got involved in the Village.
That's a long story about my interest in Second Life or so, but I'll try to cut the long story a bit short, saying a couple of things. I came in Second Life in 2007, and that was part of, once again, the EVO session. Although I came there, I found something quite boring about is that I couldn't talk, and in some places, if I remember correctly, there was voice, but voice was chaotic. But in some places there was absolutely no voice, and voice was coming and going, and people were using many other alternative ways. For example, Gavin started doing S Languages conference and was trying to bridge the gap by using some other softwares. So I found it quite dull, in spite of there was so much of hype about Second Life in 2006 and 2007, as if it is going to be the best virtual platform that we can ever imagine or something like that. So I was also carried away by the hype, I think. So I came in Second Life. Then I lost my interest in Second Life because I found that it's quite demanding technically. And I was wondering how I can relate it to my context, because the context I'm working in India, teachers have got very low access to internet. So access was very poor that time in 2007. So I couldn't connect it to my context. So I felt disappointed a bit, and I found that okay, that was a kind of high-end stuff that we cannot afford to look at right now. I came back in 2009, if you will, and then I was in UK at the University of Leeds, and the faster access of broadband with 10 Mbps speed helped me to complete the EVO session, and I made friends with Dennis, Mary, and others, and I kept on pursuing that. Now, I got the scholarship, which is called Hornby Trust Scholarship, which is given worldwide to people who are doing in-service work in ELT. It's managed by British Council, but it is given by Hornby Trust. So I was selected for Hornby Scholarship from India, and I came to University of Leeds to do MA, TESOL, and ICT. And my interest in Second Life went to that extent that two of my assignments were on Second Life. And those assignments went very well because I got more than the very high distinction mark in both the assignments. So I continue to pursue my interest, and there is an island called Education UK, and I somehow persuaded the university management to buy one island, and they bought Education UK because they were not able to fund. So Leeds University got hold of Education UK Island, and I was given a plot, and I was made one of the officers to do whatever I wish to, meaning I can teach there, I can do a building, anything that I like to. So I started exploring Second Life further. And that was part of a kind of research which I'm still carrying out quite silently with my supervisor, James Simpson, who actually supervised my master's dissertation. So right now what I'm doing, I'm looking at the chat community, how actually chat shapes in, doing a kind of a discourse analysis of chatting. Something of, if you have heard the name of Lynn Cherney. So Cherney wrote a book, Chat in a Virtual Community, and that was quite dated now because it's done in 90s. And I was trying to look at virtual worlds like Second Life in particular to see, I'm in text chat right now. It's not voice chat. I'm now looking at text chat, but I have in my mind to look at voice chat too. For that, I have to record and look at some of the samples. Avalon Group, as part of the teacher training, they recorded many sessions. Even Haika recorded many sessions for S Languages Conference. That is a quite good source to sample the data right now. And I'll definitely try to look at the voice chat also. So that's what I'm doing right now, so far as my interest in Second Life is concerned. And it is, I must acknowledge here my indebtedness to Dennis, because I know a couple of days before the deadline of this EVO, 2011 EVO, Dennis told me that Gavin published a blog, and you know, Kalyan, because of that, people are so sad, they are not eager to take up anything in Second Life. And I said, Dennis, I also feel that it would be a shame if we don't do anything on Second Life this time. So if nobody is interested, then are you with me? And he said, yes, I am with you. And then Haika also joined us, saying she's also interested to do the session with us. And then both of us asked me to write a proposal. And because we have just 48 hours, so I managed to write the proposal somehow within a day. And they had a look at it, but they couldn't say anything because I need to submit. So I submitted the proposal on behalf of the group, and it went through. And I'm quite happy that somehow we managed to put up the session, and we tried to do what we wanted to do. That's good for us. Yes, proposal for Venice. Yes, a proposal for village. Yes, that's it, Vance. Yep. I can see Dennis is also referring to that proposal. Yep. And while writing the proposal, let me mention here, if you look at the proposal of 2009 and such, they completely focused on teacher training, meaning how to teach in Second Life. My understanding of Second Life and my experience of participating in EVO rather informed me that it is quite ambitious to tell people that how to teach in Second Life when we ourselves are not quite sure whether Second Life is very good and reliable medium to teach. So how can we recommend that? So Dennis and myself were talking to each other. Heike joined us, and I suggested that the best thing to do will be to somehow help teachers explore Second Life and whether they can connect to the Second Life environment to their context. If they find it something worthwhile, something quite useful, and which they can use to bring their students or teachers or whatever they wish to, then we can take it further. Meaning, if I would have been a Superman, I would try to do two EVO sessions on Second Life, a virtual world, one only for the newbies for whom we would just support them to explore Second Life, and for those people who are quite experienced or have participated in one EVO, so for them we can take up how to teach or whether we can teach in Second Life, how good is Second Life as a teaching platform. I would love to do a session on that. Maybe next year I may focus on that if Vance doesn't include me in the multiliteracies program, because my master's dissertation was on digital literacy practices of Indian educators, and I'm trying to I think improve upon my studies so that I can publish it in systems or in ELT quarterly. That's what my supervisor wants me to do. So I'm working on that. So hence, I think that's how I got initiated into Second Life, and how I came in as a moderator in Village Session. Over to you, Vance.
Well, I believe if you want to learn about something, the best way to do that is to teach it, or one good way, I guess maybe not the best way. It is a very good way, though. So I have a couple of questions, and please, anybody else who, you know, you just have to raise your hand. I think people here, I'm sure, know about the Illuminate interface. There's a little hand raised there, so if you click on it, you'll see a number goes up on the board like that. Okay. So anyway, that indicates you want to speak. Well, you mentioned a couple of things. One thing about your context, I guess possibly we should have started with that. Jeff LeBeau and Dave Cormier always ask their guests, who are you and what do you do? Maybe we should have started there, but fill us in. What exactly do you do?
I am right now an assistant professor, expecting to be promoted to associate professor within a couple of months. I work in a college under the University of Calcutta, and I'm also associated with two universities in particular as a guest faculty, looking after their courses on communication skills development, and also in one university I do teach lots of applied linguistics modules. My area of interest is language learning through technology, and that is what I'm very much interested right now. The other point of my interest is workplace communication skills development, because my undergraduate students, they come from all disciplines, meaning science, commerce, humanities. So when they become graduate not in the UK sense, in India we call them postgraduate, MA in postgraduate. So undergraduate meaning BA, so BA and honors. So those students, I have noticed that they need support to develop their proficiency in communication skills to get absorbed in both in private sector in particular and also in government sector. So even in India, they can't get a good job without a sufficient level of proficiency in English. And that is something different from what we actually teach. Unfortunately, the undergraduate curriculum, although we teach English, but English is compulsory even at the undergraduate level, but that syllabus in most cases doesn't take into consideration the actual needs of the learners when they go out to work at workplace. So I actually did a minor research supported by University Grants Commission, which actually looks after all the universities and colleges in India. So they sanctioned me some money to do a research to find out that what are the communication skills requirements and how to bridge the gap between the industry's expectations and the current students' skill requirements. So I did interview around 25 HRs who are responsible for recruiting in the private sector. I did talk to 20 government officials, and I also talked to educators, meaning the teachers who are teaching English, and also to around 700 students across India for that purpose. And that helped me to identify certain things. I left my recommendations. I published my paper on that in an Indian journal. So that was, and it's still one of my areas of interest, workplace communications. And I also work with Oxford University Press in India for teacher training purposes. And the other thing that I frequently do is travel across India to give presentations in seminars and conferences, and also to do some teacher training, particularly in ICT. I do visit some of the English language teaching institutes for teacher training and teacher development sessions. I do conduct them. So that's, in a nutshell, my very humble profile, I would say.
It sounds like you have a very interesting job. I know when you came into Second Life, you said that one of your focuses was trying to broaden the appeal to a village, for example, to beginners and people who were actually doing things in the environment. I wonder how that extrapolates to how you're using, or how people are using, technology for language learning. This is one of your interests, and you go give training sessions. And I wonder, first of all, this is two questions. One of them is, what's the sophistication of people in India with regard to using technology for language learning or for educational purposes? That's one question. And the second question is, how do you cope with that? How do you manage the level that they're at? And draw them into using technology if they aren't predisposed to do so? Or are they? So I hope you understand those two questions. It's kind of one question or one and a half, something like that.
Yeah, that was something I was expecting. Yes, the level of proficiency is varied. Is very varied, starting from people who don't know or who have just done a very basic course in using computers, just using computers, to some teachers who are doing some excellent work, and also from institution to institution, access, the level of access to technology varies. Infrastructure varies. So it's a very varied scenario. It's very difficult to generalize anything. So we have advanced users of technology in the classroom. We have people who have just notional, who have just some notional sort of understanding of how to use technology. Just to make the point clear, some people think that using PowerPoint in the class means using technology to technology in the classroom. That's their only idea. And some people go to the extent of using blogs, wikis, even conducting webinars, using different platforms, sharing their presentations through sharing their photographs through social networking sites. So this is a very varied context, a very interesting context in the sense that some teachers are doing very good work, some are not so. So how do I cope with it when we go for teacher training purposes? There are two different kinds of teacher training I do. Two different kinds of teacher training I do. For example, when I'm asked to do a teacher training in a particular language teaching institute, generally I go to a language teaching institute, government funded or private funded, I ask them in advance that please send me a profile of the participants. And profile, I'm quite interested to know if, how many people, for how many years or for how many days these people are using technology, to what extent they're using technology, what are their purposes of using technology, whether they're using technology for just social networking purposes, or whether they're using technology in the classroom, or whether there is an overlap. So I have a standard questionnaire. A couple of questionnaires, just I try to find out their needs. That's the thing. That if, in most cases, I find that the profile of the teachers is quite mixed, meaning some people have been, as I've said, they're doing work for some time, some people have just started, and some people have notional idea. So what I do, based on that, I try to prepare my module where I focus, I try to divide them into groups, and I try to prepare my module in such a way so that I can use those advanced learners, the teachers having much more proficiency than others, to act as a kind of a local mentor to support the others who are lagging behind or who have just started or something like that. That has worked well, and particularly I believe that in some informal contexts that have worked very well. And these teachers, because sometimes it happens that one particular institute is located in one particular state, and in the teachers participating are coming from one or two cities around, and they know each other quite well, and they get to learn from each other quite. It would be hard to get a teacher at the PPTS status productivity use second life. Yes, Vance, let me make it quite clear to you that at this point in India, we are not talking about second life to teach people in second life. This is something it's not done. Only a couple of very good institute, for example, Indian Institute of Technology and Management, they have done some program. But so far in India, Second Life is not, I think, not even 1% we are using Second Life for teacher training purposes. So we are not telling teachers to use Second Life right now because of two reasons. One is varied level of access to technology, and also the level of proficiency of the learners. In some of the institutes or the universities, the learners who come, they are using, for example, internet for the first time after coming in the university or the institute. So that's something we have to take into consideration. So what we are trying to do right now, we are focusing more on the use of social networking technology, use of blog, and use of wiki for collaborative and writing practices for other primary level, and then when they go up, using wiki for sharing research and practices, creating a kind of a resource bank, so something like that, that's going on right now. The thing is very has to be made clear here that we have we'll come to it later on. The purpose of forming India Cal is actually to facilitate the teacher's professional development, which is so low so far as the use of technology in the classroom context is concerned. But things are changing. If I compare 2007 scenario to 2010 scenario, 2011, things are changing very fast. But Second Life is yet to make an entry into the Indian classroom. That's it, Vance.
Maybe Dennis could speak to some of Phil's questions. He'd like to know more about finding professional development in Second Life. And that's pretty much what the EVO sessions are about. This is about professional development. So maybe one of you would like to address, because you know I could do it myself, but Dennis, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. It always helps to switch your microphone on before you use it. Actually, I was just in the middle of writing an answer to that question, and yes, what about professional development in Second Life? As I think you just said, Vance, because my attention was partly taken by writing this this message, if I overlook something you said, but of course the EVO course, the English Village Online, which is part of TESOL, however, that is just over. So to recommend something that won't be around for another year is not too helpful. But for example, there is a follow-on course that developed out of EVO. I'm sorry about this. It's called Osner Group, because actually it is a reanimation of a group also called Osner Group, which I started after an earlier EVO. And it's being run by people like Kalyan and myself. Actually, we've got a meeting today, and what we try to do there is gather together once a fortnight with people who've been on the EVO course, it's not a requirement, and we try to keep our interest going. We try to teach each other a spirit which is known in a group like this. We try to pass on our skills. And also bring in other people So I think the summary answer has to be contact people like me and Kalyan to find out about the possibilities.
And I might add, contact them in Second Life. That's probably, I mean, they've made some really fantastic tours. In fact, actually, you can get some recordings of some of the tours that they've taken. Heike has a wonderful technique of going into Second Life with her camera and then screen sharing in Adobe Connect, and people can meet in Adobe Connect for voice chat. So you've got basically voice and voice and the appearance of Second Life in Adobe Connect and a recording. So you might just have a look at some of those because they're really enlightening. Well, let's see. I have another question. Actually, I have a couple of questions. You mentioned one of your interests is critical literacy skills. And that's one of the topics that we were hoping to address this hour. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about your interest in, well, what I call multiliteracies. We were talking to Philip Towndrow, was it last week or the week before that? I can't remember. But anyway, he pointed out that according to Copen Kalanzis and the London group, multiliteracies is actually an umbrella for cultural literacies and modality literacies. And multimodal literacies. And so actually, I think what I'm sort of interested in is mainly the multimodalities aspect. But anyway, I wasn't really aware of that distinction. But tell us about your interests there, Kalyan. What are you doing with multiliteracies or multimodalities?
Yeah, I find it quite intriguing so far as defining the new literacies, I would say, because when I look at, for example, you mentioned COPE, call it multiliteracies, there is also a group called it multimodalities. New literacies is another term which is extensively used. There is a fascinating work on new literacies. But I find the term digital literacies also, or literacies, is quite interesting because but there is a, my feeling here is that multiliteracies, multimodalities, or new literacies, digital literacies, when we try to define all these things, there is a subtle difference between all these definitions. Some people, they don't want to include the term digital, so they say, okay, multiliteracies. When I try to track down, I find that, okay, digital literacy also is a kind of is almost synonymous with multiliteracies. We can mean the same thing by the same by a very different word. So without getting lost into this ways to define what digital literacy is, what multiliteracy is, or multiliteracies, or should we call it literacy or literacies, I find that in every sphere of our life today, we are being impacted by digital technology. Whether we go to bank, we do online banking today, we do no longer go to bank unless the bank summons us to come. So starting from banking, online stuff, online payment, everything, making friends, even parties in Second Life, quite popular. So technology is impacting, digital technology is impacting our life in such a way that The way we used to look at literacy is quite changing, and it's changing so fast. Literacy, as I understood it, we just meant the ability to read and write. So when we talk about multimodality, so the concept is changing, meaning the different modes, how those modes are actually determining our level of literacy, our ability to read and write, and our ability to do certain things in a way that we can't do. The effect, I think the greater emphasis is on, I think, in the other part of our discussion is this technology has created a networked world, right? And so whether we learn, whether we teach, whether we do anything, whether we do business, we have to do in a kind of a networked community. So networking is something which has changed the way we aspire to do things, the way we want to do things. So what I tried to do in course of my master's dissertation was I was looking at the current level of the digital literacy practices of teachers. It's a kind of foundational study. In order to ascertain that how or in what ways we can bring in changes in our teacher both preset and inset programs so that teachers, we can support teachers to become much more, meaning digitally proficient, to teach in a world which is increasingly being digitized and which is increasingly being connected. So that was the purpose of looking at it, of doing the study. Right. And so, and the practices are quite situated practice and are quite different. Quite different in the sense, in one particular institution, when I was doing my case study, part of my research, I found that in one particular institute, in one state, the way the teachers are using, for example, blogs with their learners, in a different institute, which is located within, say, 40 kilometers, another university located within 40 to 30 kilometers, students coming from the same background, the teachers are using those technologies in a different way. Because literacy is actually kind of a situated practice. That is how we define literacy in some sort of way. So the way they actually are using those technological tools and social networking sites with their students are quite varied at the same time. And the interesting thing is, it doesn't always depend on the level of proficiency of the teachers who are using that. Meaning, I have found the teachers who have just done a kind of an orientation program for 7 days in using technology is doing a work which is something the other teacher who has got a kind of a diploma in computing is not being able to do that. That is something I spotted, but I haven't got the time. That was not part of my research to look at why there is this kind of difference. Because the general assumption is, or hypothesis could be, that people having advanced those who are actually the advanced users of technology, they would be able to make a much more, I think, sophisticated use of technology with their students. But that's not happening. But much more pedagogically sound use of technology. That's important. And when I attended I was asked to observe some of the teacher training sessions on technology. And how technology can be used. I found the teachers are, the trainers are focusing more on, say, how to create slides or how to create a presentation in in PowerPoint, not how you can use those PowerPoint slides with your students to support their learning. That part was missing. So that was something which is interesting.
Was that Vance about to ask me something, Kalyan?
No, I passed the microphone to you. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Does everybody have Kalyan's web tour on the screen? You can see Kalyan's web page. Just put a yes or a smiley face if you see that. I just want to be sure that I'm driving a web tour. And I think probably you saw the URL that Dennis put in there. Okay. Kalyan is a moderator. You could browse around this page if you wanted, Kalyan. I was going to ask you another question, and one last question, then I'll open it up to, it's open to anybody at the moment, but this is my last question. Can you tell us something about what you found in your research? Very interested in, you've mentioned a lot of research. Any really salient, significant findings? What strikes you as being really interesting that you've discovered in your research? And you've got this page up, and you could just drive us around it if you want. You should be able to guide it. There's a little globe to the right of the URL in the moderator's view, and next to the globe it says tour guide, and that has to be ticked in for us to see where you're going.
And so, would you like me to talk about Second Life, or would you like me to talk about the digital literacy study that I did?
Well, maybe we could let our, why don't the participants write in the text chat, SL or DL, Second Life or digital literacy, so we'll take a vote. I could run a poll. This is just as good. Okay. Looks like digital literacies is the request.
Okay. I will do that right now. Just a second. I'm trying to look at...
I could just say something else. I know you're quite familiar with Adobe Connect, but we're using Illuminate, so this isn't really your platform. But you could also find a URL, paste it directly into the URL button in the web tour. I think you see the URL there, and you could also take us to that place. So you can drive the web tour just by pasting URLs into it. Just make sure that the tour guide tick is ticked in to the right of the globe. I hope I didn't cut you off, Kalyan. I stole your microphone so I could say that. If we don't use this one-way voice, then we have problems often with feedback. So go ahead.
Okay, I was trying to look at the dissertation itself. But it is in my laptop right now, so it's not in my desktop, which I'm currently using. So let me tell you what I actually found in the short span of a master's dissertation. I was trying to find out whether these teachers, whether these teachers, the Indian English language teachers, are using the same sort of tools in their social and professional lives, whether they're using them to support their learners' performance in regular teaching, or just initiating them to these tools, whether they use them with any particular interest, with a particular purpose in mind or not. The study actually resulted in identifying some of the key digital literacy practices of these teachers, and it's shown that the use of these tools for socialization attracts more attention from Indian educators currently than their use for teaching and for professional development. The study also shows that the teachers are mostly using two most popular networking sites for socializations, namely Orkut and Facebook. I also found that the general lack of interest in using online community sites for sharing pictures and videos. I also found that there are more these teachers are more interested to use network sites to create a network of their own and then to use those information. And they have very limited awareness about the possible uses of web-based conferencing tools, learning management systems, and virtual worlds. It could be attributed to lack of infrastructure resources that could have stopped them from exploring them. But the study couldn't establish whether training and basic computing, which I was referring to, helped the teachers in using these tools. On the contrary, the data that I got shows that the teachers who are using them more frequently with their friends, relatives, students, colleagues are the ones who have neither received any pre-service training nor any in-service training. I thought that it could be that the use of these Web 2.0 tools is a relatively new development. So the users could be the early adopters. It could also be linked to the issue of access. However, the investigation of these issues I found quite beyond the scope of my study because it's just an MA dissertation. The other thing that I found that integration of these tools and sites in regular teaching is not a regular feature of the Indian classrooms. Teachers are mostly using them with their students either in informal contexts or for research purposes. However, the study identifies, for example, one case where the concerned teacher is using it in regular teaching and assessing the learner's progress. However, this data set I found is quite limited to indicate any set of practices. So the digital literacy practices that I was able to identify in my study are not collective, rather drawn from a data set of 20 teachers and whom I interviewed, and around 200 teachers who actually responded to my questionnaire. However, it gives me an indication that instead of serious pedagogic interventions, teachers are mostly using these tools for improving their confidence level, power of expression, facilitate interaction between peers and students and peers. The teacher and the peers. And given the limited scope of interaction in the Indian classroom, the other factor is the classroom behavior of the students being linked to the social and cultural upbringing, particularly of the students who are coming from the rural part of India. I found that it's quite a healthy development. The thing that I have been able to identify. I also noticed a couple of innovative things the teachers did. For example, the teachers' practice of recontextualization of the web tools like blogs, groups, and there are claims that the use of these tools are improving their learners' writing skills and contributing to the growth of their cognitive skills as well. But the veracity of the claim cannot be established because of the limitation of data, the lack of adequate data, I would say. But it is identified as one of the probable research questions for future study, I would say. And as I mentioned earlier, that the teachers' digital literacy practices here also I find is socially situated, but they are quite dynamic. They are far from monolithic and uniform, so the study can only indicate some of the practices that are visible now from the kind of a data I collected. And I feel, my feeling is that another study on the teachers after some time may reveal some new set of digital literacy practices. Anybody if wants to comment on that?
Michael, any comment before you go off to bed?
Oh, here I was winding down thinking, okay, I'm about to shut off my brain and go to sleep. Kalyan, thank you. It's been really interesting to get your perspective from the Indian point of view. I think I'd like to comment briefly on the last part of what you were talking about, the research about digital literacy. And I've been wondering for a while now why so many of us, so the people in this room, for example, now, are all using social networking for our professional lives, but very few people seem to be able to make the transition to using those same approaches in a real classroom situation. And it seems that what you're saying about the data that you've uncovered in India, it's a similar situation. That people are struggling to transfer those social networking skills to a teaching situation, and I'm really interested in that. So that's my thought. Kalyan, again, thanks very much, and good night, everybody. I might just sit here for a couple of minutes to see what happens in the next few minutes, but I really have to go to bed. Cheers.
Elizabeth, your hand is raised. If you'd like to make a comment, or whichever you will, raise to the mic, to the microphone. Kalyan, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I wanted to say that I think it's exactly the same throughout the world, and I was absolutely amazed at my students when I said, "Okay, we're going to create a wiki," and they took an attitude to say, "Oh my goodness, no, I don't want my name out there." And then I asked them, "Do you have a Facebook account?" And they said, "Yes." So this year, at the beginning of the year, I was able to give a questionnaire to 512 students, and 80% of them had a Facebook account and have never used any other social networking of any kind, RSS feeds, they just absolutely do not know about what is available. And although they have a Facebook account, they retain a kind of fear of using social networks. That's what I wanted to add.
Elizabeth, I would like to just add here what you have said. This is something I do also feel. When I was in UK, I went to a couple of schools with some of my batchmates or classmates. They were doing some study on the UK school students, and I accompanied them. And I took the opportunity to ask them that how many of you use Facebook, all hands came up. And then I asked them that, "Think I'm a teacher, would you like to make me your friend in your Facebook?" All of them say, "If you are my teacher, no." And when I here in India, when I go to classes, I ask my students, how many of you are in social networking sites in Facebook or in Orkut? Orkut is quite popular in India, like in Brazil. So I asked them, and they said, it's a mixed response. I think 70% of the students say, okay, so if you like to be my friend, it's pleasure. And some of them do send me requests to make them their friends in sites. And I also observe that that the Indian educators, they somehow have lots of students in their Facebook profile, and also their colleagues and acquaintances in their Facebook profile and also in their Orkut profile. So practices are so varied. It's very difficult to generalize anything. I came across a couple of studies on Facebook. In one study where it was, oh, you don't use Facebook. Okay. Right. I think all of you must have came across such studies where there was an attempt to start a Facebook page to share classroom materials and things, meaning to use it pedagogically. Although Facebook is a kind of a social networking site, it should be used for socialization. So this recontextualization or a kind of making it pedagogically quite sound, that is something that has been tried in some kind of interventionist study. The results are mixed. That's what I have found. If anybody wants to say something on this.
I'm looking around for a recording link, so I welcome anybody else. So I'll be right back. I'm still browsing.
Yeah, just a comment. It strikes me that whether we're talking about Second Life or other sort of Web 2.0 tools, the difference between, as a teacher, using them yourself and organizing a whole class using them is gigantic. And I would think that, apart from anything else, that is one of the reasons why people are not so quick to use lots of technological things in a classroom. The problem of access, of the behavior of the pupils or the students, apart from sort of deeper pedagogical concerns.
Yeah, I never could find the link I was looking for, but I was listening. I was just on the topic of getting students out there, and I've been really influenced by Dave Cormier's work lately, especially his recordings on MOOCs, and also a paper that he has written on that topic with some collaborators. I can probably find that one, but let me see. MOOCs. Anyhow, I was listening to him make a recording, and this here, I found the URL for the paper. This is really interesting. Okay, let me put that in the, I'll put it in the web tour here. No, I'll put it in the text chat, because the web tour is being driven right now. Okay, so he was talking to some people about open, putting things online as opposed to, I just noticed that URL has a period in it. That's probably not going to work. I'll try that. Okay. Talking about what's the value of getting students to get their stuff out there, you know, when they're on Facebook, but, you know, they do that. They put embarrassing things online, but they sort of complain about, you know, if it's a teacher wants them to post something, and some people even say, well, that might come back and impact my job potential later, or I might have to come back and explain why I had this position to an employer who thinks I should have another position. So he says, well, you know, you could do so many really bad things to students, So which is the worst bad thing? You ask them to post something online and join the conversation about their profession, which is happening online, like our conversation we're having right now. People really, we're talking about multiliteracies. Well, this is one of the skills, you know, coming online and joining these conversations. I don't know about the people you work with, but there isn't a lot of interest where I am. Some, but not, yeah, well, Phil is here with us. He's no longer in our context, but he used to be work here at the PI. But sometimes, well, anyway, there aren't a lot of people who really join in these conversations. But that is a multiliteracy skill, is coming online and talking about things and blogging things and getting your points of view out there and then percolating those things and getting ideas from other people. So in his courses, he says, what's the worst thing you can do? You can either have students post something live somewhere or you could take them, have them write down something on a paper, and you could read it in your office, and then you could toss it in the trash and give them a mark. I mean, which is the worst? And most teachers are kind of doing the second thing, you know. So if you put it in that perspective, you kind of see that more people should be doing things like this, especially in classes. Transferring this kind of the thing we're doing right now, and having whole classes. This is a question I'm writing in a blog post I'm working on right now, and that is why are teachers not getting their students into spaces like this? Some people are. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it happens. It happens a lot, but not enough. You know, this is not mainstream. Okay, enough. Well, I don't know. Maybe I got distracted and didn't really say the appropriate thing at that point in the conversation. But on the other hand, it is a quarter after the hour, and it's been a really nice chat, and I hope we get that. Well, I've been interacting with Kellyanne and Dennis, for that matter, in Second Life. You can meet them there, Phil, if you want to go and check out more what they're doing. They've got some really interesting spaces. And, you know, basically meet real people, as Dennis keeps pointing out, and sort of see what they're into and wander around with them and interact with them and find out more about what they do professionally. But, yes, Kellyanne has just asked me a question now about Apical and IndiaCal. I don't really know that much about IndiaCal. Apical is a group that does some publishing and has a conference every year. And I'm a little embarrassed. I can't remember where the next one is off the top of my head, but the recent ones have been in Chiang Mai, I think was the last one, or Kota Kinabalu, I can't remember. But anyway, they usually have it over in that part of the world. And they're kind of interested in webheads, actually. We've had some intersections in webheads and action online convergences. They've been supportive of that. They helped sponsor that. And as Claire says, there's also WorldCal. And of course, Tom Robb is, what's his organization, Claire? It has conferences in association with Apical. So yes, there are so many ways that when you get up to that level, webheads is on a different plane. Webheads transcends all these other more official kind of funded entities.
Just to mention briefly about IndiaCal, it started in 2009 and it's going very first, and
I see a little red square next to Kellyanne's mic that generally tells us that there's something wrong with it. Okay, I see it's gone away. Okay, go ahead, Kellyanne, continue. Okay, Kellyanne, I don't know if you want to finish what you were saying. You were in mid-sentence, and then this little red dot appeared next to your mic, and I think there was some transmission error, and there was a silence at our end for a while, and then I came in to interrupt. But I'll say goodbye and thank you. in a moment. Let me give you a chance to finish in case you were going to say something more about India, Cal.
We are an IEEE associate. We are also working with Asia Call. And I also talked to Mike Levy. We are also trying to be part of World Call organization very much, because I find that it's very important to get connected with similar organizations and to work together, to share practices, to learn from each other. And Hi, nice to meet you. We are trying to get connected and do things. We organized the Asia Call conference last year. We are going to organize IEEE supported conference, learning technology supported conference in 2012 January in India. We have signed an agreement with WizIQ, and this month we are starting teacher training program, particularly for the Indian teachers and India Call members, to really support them to teach online and also to go for blended learning context. So we are trying to do something in our limited with our limited capacity and resources, but we are growing very fast. I think one of the fastest growing teachers organization in India, I would say. And I'll want to grant us regional group status. Mike Laserwood came to India for the Asia Call conference. And Mike and myself sat together, we worked out the modalities. We are going to sign the agreement very soon, maybe this month itself, or may not be. And I may travel to attend IELTS conference in June. But that depends on lots of things, Vance, you know. Funding is a big question. That's the thing, and I would love to get associated with APACall, because if you look at India Call website, I created links to all the call organization. I keep on talking to Graham Davis now and then of Eurocall. So that's how we are trying to get connected, and we are a group of educators who are working with the government also, trying to, in a way, to inform government the requirements of the teachers and the students, what should we do. So we are trying to advise government, and not really trying to influence their decision, but trying to advise the government at this point of time. So that's what we are doing. And Claire, I wrote a couple of mails to Mike. Mike also responded to my mail, and then I wrote back. We would be happy to join World Call and get connected.
Okay, well, Dennis keeps saying goodbye. We're down to just a couple of people here now. I don't suppose you want to speak directly, do you, Claire? Yeah. Claire says no. Okay. Well, it's Claire, Maisie, Callion, and I. People are leaving, and what happens here is that we, as people leave the room, the last person out turns out the lights, that's me, and the recording goes into the can. Deb Ann just arrived. Hi, Deb Ann, how are you? We're just finishing up, actually. I haven't switched off the recording yet. This is Vance Stevens talking with Kalyan Chattopadhyay from West Bengal. And this has been Learning Together learningtogether.pbworks.com. And it's Sunday, March 6th, 2010, and we've been having a really nice discussion. And we're going to say goodnight. Thanks very much, Kellyanne. Really appreciate you coming by and talking to us. And last word, if you like. Other than that, I'll turn off the recorder.
Thank you all for coming in, and thank you, Vance, for asking me to come. It's really my pleasure and to meet to all of you and to share a little bit of my work. And hope we'll keep working together and learn together.
Yep, learning together is what it's all about. Deb Ann, anything that you'd like to say before we switch off the recording? Okay, well, anyway, welcome, and sorry you weren't here right at the beginning. So thanks very much, Kellyanne. So I'll turn the recording off then, and thanks very much for a very enlightening session.